Again, let's start with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Pray that you would speak to us through your word. And I pray that your word would have its way in our hearts and in our minds. I pray that you would shut off all distractions and help us to focus on your word. In Christ's name, amen. Mark 3, verse 13. Jesus chooses the 12 apostles. Afterwards, Jesus went up on a mountain and called out the ones he wanted to go with him, and they came to him. Then he appointed 12 of them and called them his apostles. They were to accompany him, and he would send them to preach, giving them authority to cast out demons. These are the 12 he chose: Simon, who he named Peter, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, but Jesus nicknamed them sons of thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas Iscariot, who later would betray him. Jesus and the prince of demons. One time Jesus entered the house and the crowds began to gather again. Soon he and his disciples couldn't even find time to eat. When his family heard what was happening, they tried to take him away. "He is out of his mind," they said. But the teachers of religious law who had arrived from Jerusalem said, "He's possessed by Satan, the prince of demons. That's where he gets his power to cast out demons." Jesus called him over and responded with an illustration. "How can Satan cast out Satan?" he asked. "A kingdom divided by civil war will collapse. Similarly, a family splintered by feuding will fall apart. And if Satan is divided and fights against himself, how can he stand? He would never survive. Let me illustrate this further. Who is powerful enough to enter the house of a strong man and plunder his goods? Only someone even stronger. Someone who could tie him up and then plunder his house. I tell you the truth. All sin and blaspheme can be forgiven, but anyone who blasphemes the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. This is the sin with eternal consequence." He told them this because they were saying he's possessed by an evil spirit, the true family of Jesus. Then Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him. They stood outside and sent word for him to come out and talk with them. There was a crowd sitting around Jesus, and someone said, "Your mother and your brother are outside asking for you." Jesus replied, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" Then he looked at those around him and said, "Look, these are my mother and brothers. Anyone who does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." Chapter 4. The parable of the farmer scattering seed. Chapter 4. The parable of the farmer scattering seed. Once again, Jesus began teaching by the lake. A very large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat in the boat while all the people remained on the shore. He taught them by telling them many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant seed. As he scattered it across the field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Still, other seed fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Then he said, "Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." Later, when Jesus was alone with the 12 disciples and with the others who were gathered around, they asked him what the parable meant. He replied, "You are permitted to understand the secret of the kingdom of God, but I use parables for everyone for everything I say to outsiders, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they see what I do, they will learn nothing. When they hear what I say, they will not understand. Otherwise, they will turn to me and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "If you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all of the other parables? The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell along the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message crowded out by the worries of life and the lure of wealth and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on good soil represent those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. The parable of the lamp. Then Jesus asked them, "Would anyone light a lamp and then put it under a basket or under a bed? Of course not. A lamp is placed on a stand where its light will shine. For everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into open, and every secret will be brought to light. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Then he added, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive more. Those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But to those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. Let me pause right there and talk about this text of scripture. You think about it. Jesus says, would anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket or under a bed? Of course not. A lamp is placed on a stand where its light will shine. Let God's light shine out in your life. Don't be afraid of the things that God is doing in your life. However, there will be people in your life that will try to get you to put your light under the table. That's why it is so important to hang around people who love God more than you, because we want our light to shine out so that others will see God through us. And then let me make another note on Jesus says, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. When you read or listen to God's word, it's not about the quantity, how much, as it is about quality, how well or how deep you understand what it is you are reading. I'm thankful that you're listening to this audio reading of God's word. But if there is something that pricks your heart at any particular time, do not be afraid to pause the recording, to pause the audio, and really just sit on that particular text and see what God is in you in that text. All right, let's continue on. Parable of the growing seed. Jesus also said, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crop on its own. First, a leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally, the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with the sickle, for the harvest time has come. Parable of the mustard. Jesus said, how can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it? It is like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds can make nests in it. Jesus used many similar stories and illustrations to teach the people as much as they could understand. In fact, in his public ministry, he never taught without using parables. But afterwards, when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything to them. Jesus calms the storm. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in a boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, teacher, don't you care that we are going to drown? When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silent, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? The disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They asked each other. Even the wind and waves obey him. Let me just stop and just make a quick comment here. Think about this. The disciples have seen him do many miracles up to this point. And here they are in a boat with him. Things start happening and they are afraid. Think about Jesus' question when he says, why are you afraid? Do you still have little faith? You know, I think that's a question that we get asked all of the time. We ask ourselves all the time is, why are we afraid? God is with us. The Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the grave is living in. But you know, I just be honest with you. In this world, we get afraid of the things that will come our way. We get afraid of situations, whatever it may be. And so we get afraid. We take our eyes off Jesus. So let me just encourage you to always keep your eyes on. Chapter 5. Jesus heals a demon-possessed man. So they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of the Gerasene. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out of the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrist and smashed the shackle. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night, he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stone. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed before him. With a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." Then the evil spirits begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. "Send us into those pigs," the spirit begged. "Let us enter them." So Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what had happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pig, and the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him, but Jesus said, "No, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been." So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them. Let me make a quick note about verse 19. When the man begged him, the man who had been healed of the demons, he begged Jesus to go with him. Jesus told him, he said, "No, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done." See, here's a note that I want to make here. The Lord told the man to go because he needed him to be a witness for him. When God saves you and delivers you, he wants you to tell others all that he has done for you so that others may give glory to God, may believe in Jesus. So you have to remember that. I just wanted to point that out there in that text. All right, let's go ahead. Let's continue on. Verse 21, Jesus heals in response to faith. Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. "My little girl is dying," he said. "Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so she can live." Jesus went with him, and all of the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, "If I can just touch his robe, I will be healed." Immediately, the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him, so he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my robe?" His disciples said to him, "Look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me?" But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. While he was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. They told him, "Your daughter is dead. There is no use troubling the teacher now." Listen to this, y'all. But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just have faith." Don't be afraid. Just have faith. The ESV interprets this verse or translates this verse as, "Do not fear, only believe." Verse 37. Then Jesus stopped the crowd and wouldn't let anyone go with him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw much commotion and weeping and wailing. He went inside and asked, "Why all this commotion and weeping? The child isn't dead, she's only asleep." The crowd laughed at him, but he made them all leave, and he took the girl's father and mother and his three disciples into the room where the little girl was lying. Holding her hand, he said to her, "Tabitha kalum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around. They were overwhelmed and totally amazed. Jesus gave them strict orders not to tell anyone what had happened. And then he told them to give her something to eat. Chapter 6, Jesus rejected at Nazareth. Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. They asked, "Where did he get all this wisdom and power to perform such miracles?" Then they scoffed, "He's just a carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simeon," or Simon, "and his sisters live right here among us." They were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Then Jesus told them, "A prophet is honored everywhere except in his hometown and among his relatives and his own family." And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hand on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Wow, that's pretty sad, don't you think? I mean, they rejected him. God in human flesh, they rejected him. They said he's just a carpenter, son of Mary, Joseph's son. And look at verse 6. He was amazed at their unbelief. Very sad. All right, let's continue on. Jesus sends out the 12 disciples. Then Jesus went from village to village teaching the people. And he called his 12 disciples together and began sending them out two by two, giving them authority to cast out evil spirits. He told them to take nothing for their journey except a walking stick, no food, no traveler's bag, no money. He allowed them to wear sandals, but not to take a change of clothes. "Wherever you go," he said, "stay in the same house until you leave town. But if any place refuses to welcome you or to listen to you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you have abandoned those people to their fate." So the disciples went out, telling everyone they met to repent of their sins and to turn to God. And they cast out many demons and healed many sick people, anointing them with olive oil. The death of John the Baptist. Herod Antipas, the king, soon heard about Jesus because everyone was talking about him. Some were saying, "This must be John the Baptist raised from the dead. That is why he can do such miracles." Others said, "He's the prophet Elijah." Still others said, "He's a prophet like the other great prophets of the past." When Herod heard about Jesus, he said, "John, the man I beheaded, has come back from the dead." For Herod had sent soldiers to arrest and imprison John as a favor of Herodias. She had been his brother Philip's wife, but Herod had married her. John had been telling Herod, It is against God's law for you to marry your brother's wife." So Herodias bore a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But without Herod's approval, she was powerless. For Herod respected John, and knowing that he was a good and holy man, he protected him. Herod was greatly disturbed whenever he talked with John, but even so, he liked to listen to him. Herodias' chance finally came on Herod's birthday. He gave a party for his high government officials, army officers, and leading citizens of Galilee. Then the daughter, also known Herodias, came in and performed a dance that greatly pleased Herod and his guests. "Ask me for anything you like," the king said to the girl, "and I will give it to you." He even vowed, "I will give you whatever you ask, up to half my kingdom." So she went out and asked her mother, "What should I ask for?" Her mother told her, "Ask for the head of John the Baptist." So the girl hurried back to the king and told him, I want the head of John the Baptist right now on a tray. Then the king deeply regretted what he had said, but because of the vows he had made in front of the guests, he couldn't refuse her. So he immediately sent an executioner to the prison to cut off John's head and to bring it to him. The soldier beheaded John in the prison, brought his head on a tray, and gave it to the girl, who took it to her mother. When John's disciples heard what had happened, they came to get his body and buried it in a tomb. You know, in my reading, one thing that I thought of is just what a horrible way to die, all because of a weak king who made a stupid vow. I mean, just senseless. But just wow. Okay, let's continue on. Jesus feeds 5,000. The apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him all they had done and taught. Then Jesus said, "Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while." He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. So they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. But many people recognized them and saw them leaving. And the people from many towns ran ahead along the shore and got there before them. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like a sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat. But Jesus said, "You feed them." "With what?" they asked. "We have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people." "How much bread do you have?" he asked. "Go and find out." They came back and reported, "We have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish." Then Jesus said to the disciples to have the people to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of 50 or 100. Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looked up to heaven, and blessed it. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. He also divided the fish for everyone to share. They all ate as much as they wanted. And afterwards, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish. A total of 5,000 men and their families were fed. You know, this story always gets, anytime I read it, I'm just amazed by the question that Jesus, he says, "How much bread do you have?" And he asks, "Go and find out." Here's Jesus, God in human flesh. I really and truly feel that Jesus knew how many loaves and how many fish they had, but Jesus wanted them to know it. He wanted them to know, here's the starting point. Here's where we're going to start. We're going to start with 5 loaves and 2 fish and watch what I do with this little, because he is God in human flesh. I just get wowed by that anytime I read it. It's what the power of God Almighty. Jesus walks on water, verse 45. Immediately, here's that word again. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and head across the lake to Bethsaida while he sent the people home. After telling everyone goodbye, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Late that night, the disciples were in their boat in the middle of the lake, and Jesus was alone on land. He saw that they were in serious trouble. Wow. I hope when you read God's word that you never lose your awe of God's word. He saw that they were in trouble. Just think about the simple yet powerful effect of that. He saw that they were in trouble. Man, God knows everything that's going on in your life. Don't listen to the enemy. Don't listen to the lies that God doesn't see you, that God doesn't care for you. No, God sees, God knows everything that is going on. The word here says he saw that they were in serious trouble. Rowing hard and struggling against the wind and the waves, about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them walking on the water. He intended to go past them, but when they saw him walking on the water, they cried out in terror, thinking he was a ghost. They were all terrified when they saw him. But Jesus spoke to them at once. Listen to this. This is so cool. "Don't be afraid." Wow. You know, it's one thing for a friend to say, "Don't be afraid." Parent to say, "Don't be afraid." But when the creator of the universe says, "Don't be afraid," man, that just rings, that hits you. I don't know, man. That just gives you courage. He says, "Don't be afraid." He said, "Take courage. I am here." Wow. Let's just stop right there. look at that. He says, don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here. You could do those two things. You could not be afraid. You could take courage. Why? Because God is here. Just phenomenal. Verse 51. Then he climbed into the boat and the wind stopped. They were totally amazed, for they still didn't understand the significance of the miracle of the loaves. Their hearts were too hard to take it in. Oh, Lord, I pray that as you read God's word, that you will allow God's word to soften your heart. Here's a note that I made in my studying. I said, amazing that all they had to say, that all they had saw. All that they had saw Christ do, their hearts were too hard to take it in. Think about that. Just don't skip over that. They were totally amazed. Verse 52 tells us, or 51 leading to 52. They were totally amazed, but they still did not understand the significance of the miracle of the loaves. Their hearts were too hard to take it in. You know, as I study this, here's a note that I made. Lord, open my heart to all that you want to do. You know, guys, I tell you, the longer you go in life, the more hardened your heart will get. We need God's word. We need to read God's word and be around God's people to keep our hearts soft, to keep our hearts open to what God is doing. So as you're going through this 52, allow God to soften your heart through the reading/hearing of his word, because he softens your heart by that. All right, let's continue on. Verse 53. And after they had crossed the lake, they landed in the garrison. They brought the boat to shore and climbed out. The people recognized Jesus at once, and they ran throughout the whole area, carrying sick people on mats to wherever they heard he was. Wherever he went, in villages, cities, or in the countryside, they brought the sick out to the marketplace. They begged him to let the sick touch at least the fringe of his robe, and all who touched him were healed. Wow. Mark chapter 7. Here we go. Jesus teaches about inner purity. One day, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law arrived from Jerusalem to see Jesus. They noticed that some of the disciples failed to follow the Jewish ritual of hand washing before eating. Let me pause right there. So the Pharisees, the religious leaders, remember we talked about that they had somewhere in the neighborhood of 600 or so laws that they tried to keep, that they wanted others to keep so that they could earn God's favor. They felt that was the way that you did it, that it wasn't by grace, that it was by work. Okay, so they noticed, verse 2 tells us, they noticed that some of the disciples failed to follow the Jewish ritual of hand washing before eating. The Jews, especially the Pharisees, do not eat until they have poured water over their cupped hands as required by their ancient tradition. Similarly, they don't eat anything from the market until they immerse their hands in water. This is but of one of the many traditions they have clung to, such as their ceremonial washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. Verse 5. So the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law asked him, "Why don't your disciples follow our age-old tradition? They eat without first performing the hand washing ceremony." Jesus replied, "You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, 'These people honor me with their lips.'" Think about this. Just think about this. "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from." Wow. "Their worship is a farce. They teach man-made ideas as command from God. For you ignore God's law and substitute your own tradition." You know, here's a note that I made. We have to be careful with the traditions of man. As Isaiah said, "The people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." It's all about the heart, God. All right, let's continue on. Verse 9. They said, then he said, "You skillfully sidestep God's law in order to hold on to your own tradition. For instance, Moses gave you this law from God: honor your father and mother, and anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death. But you say it is all right for people to say to their parents, 'Sorry, I can't help you, for I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you.' In this way, you let them disregard their needy parents, and so you cancel the word of God in order to hand down your own traditions. And this is only one example among many." Verse 14. Then Jesus called to the crowd to come and hear. All of you listen, he said, and try to understand. It's not what goes into your body that defiles you. You are defiled by what comes from your heart. Then Jesus went into a house to get away from the crowd, and the disciples asked him what he meant by the parable he had just used. Don't you understand either? He asked. Can't you see that the food you put into your body cannot defile you? Food doesn't go into your heart, but only passes through your stomach and then goes into the sewer. By saying this, he declared that every kind of food is acceptable in God's eyes. And then he added, it is what comes from inside that defiles you. For from within, out of a person's heart, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lust, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these vile things comes from within. They are what defile. That completes our reading for today. I pray that you have gotten something out of the reading for today. I pray that the Lord has spoke to you in some way through some of the comments or just through his word, or mainly through his word, that you have that the Lord has spoke to you. So remember to look at those questions, journal your answers, continue on, guys. God bless you. Let me close this in prayer. Father, help us to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer of the word. In Christ's name, amen.